Hey everyone! Ah! So excited. We are celebrating our friend, Amy Seifert. If you are not familiar with Amy, you are going to fall in love with her. She's phenomenal. She's been around a wife like me for a while, and she has a brand new book out. And it's out on Tuesday. It's called Starved. It's beautiful. Why we need a spiritual diet change to move us from tired, anxious, and overwhelmed to fulfilled, whole, and free. Yay.
That's a mouthful. It's a mouthful.
Isn't it what we, it's what we want. It's what we crave. But we sometimes don't know that we need it. And that's what we're talking about tonight. How do we know if we are spiritually starved? What does it look like? How can we move toward feeling, living, experiencing the abundant, whole life? So, Amy, welcome. You are so cool and fun. And we were connected years ago. You were one of the OGs of A Wife Like Me.
Listen, so fun. The OGs, I mean, I love your heart for wives and for the church. And I'm all in. Like, I love what you're doing all the time.
Well, same. You are in all the places I feel like people are finding you. You teach at Brookside Church. So you're on the teaching team there. You preach. Love, 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 love. You are also the author of Grace Looks Amazing on You. If you've not read that book, you need to get that book. Also, you travel. You speak wherever like women will have you or pastors, whatever that looks like. Amazing.
Yes.
And you're over on YouVersion Bible app, like all the time. So that is so, so we can see you in all the places. And you have a podcast. The podcast, tell me the name again. It's off my brain right now.
Well, I'll tell you, we pushed pause on the podcast, but it's called The Big Top. You can still listen to what's there. So
there you go. The Big Top. Yeah. Okay. It's so good. So you can hear Amy's voice there too. But just thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. We're so pumped to chat about Starved. And P.S. if you want to win a copy, we're giving away a copy. Just comment in the right in the comments tonight. Me. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you can comment there too. Anytime you're watching, we're going to be giving that copy away. So just welcome. Is there anything you want to like intro of yourself that I have not mentioned already?
I love a good tennis game. So I'll tell you that tennis season is upon us. So we're doing this.
That's great. Fun fact about tennis. The only time I've played was on our honeymoon. And I was so bad that my husband, it literally caused an argument because he thought I was purposely playing bad. And I was not.
You're like, no, babe, this is my game. This is like what's happening.
Yeah, that's all I got. It was so funny. No. In reference to tennis, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to sit this one out.
Good.
For the betterment of our marriage. I'm just not going to.
That's hilarious. He thought you were purposely playing bad. I would be so offended. Like, I'm playing as hard as I can, actually. So just this is what you have. This is what you married.
I'm sorry. Surprise. But yeah. So that's great tennis. Kudos.
Yeah. My oldest son picked it up and he's a sophomore. And so my husband, Robbie, we're all playing. I'm like, I imagine of all five of us playing tennis. So we keep it like, you can't all five play at the same time, but
yeah,
I love it. It's the best sport.
So, good.
Yeah.
Well, let's gush over Starved, how pretty she is. And not just that inside, oh my land. Why did you feel the need? Why did you know this book needed to be written?
Yes. Well, actually it started under my own roof. It was, my son 4.5 years ago, started losing a ton of weight and was really sick. Stomach pain. I mean, all the things. Lost 15 pounds in about 6 weeks, which is a lot on an 11-year-old boy. We finally, all the tests, everything came back and he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And so we decided to try a diet change to just punch Crohn's into remission. And as we're cleaning out every spice, I'm looking for, you know, caking agents and like what's in my pantry. Like I emptied my whole kitchen because we're starting over. And I was so overwhelmed, Amanda. I felt like I had been Googling late at night. I had been just feasting on my own anxious thoughts, the what if game, right? What if, you know? And I felt like in that moment in my kitchen, the Lord said, I will shepherd you through this, but you have to come to me. Like, I needed a spiritual diet change under our own roof. And the more I looked around our culture, I was like, I think we all need a spiritual diet change. I think we're feasting on things that are leaving us empty and malnourished. We need some changes.
Yes. So good. Yes. I'm like, I think we can all, without you going into great detail, understand what it is you're talking about. Because I think we know what it feels like. And I would even go as far to say, I think we know what it feels like to even be checking the boxes of what we think is supposed to fill us, right? Like, I got up early, I was in the Word, I go to that small group or that Bible study, I'm volunteering at church, I'm doing the things, like I'm following the diet that I've been told is going to fill me, but I'm not being filled. Like, I'm still starving.
Yes.
So yeah. How do you like, how have you seen how, like, what are, like, how do we know if we're spiritually starved? Even though I think some of us, like, even that question, you're like, oh my gosh, you know what I mean?
I'm starving.
To put words, like, again, you might be watching or listening. You're like, yeah, I think I already am. And I don't even know how to put words to it. Right.
Oh, yes. Yes. And what you just said, we could be checking all the boxes, doing all the spiritual things, but not really connecting to God and others. Like, going through the motions will starve us.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, right off the bat, the first chapter, I talk about our phones and how they're starving us. And even some of the research I was doing, that the average American checks their phone 344 times a day. Yeah. And we're looking for it to feed us and to validate us and to tell us what to do next. And we're just looking to our phone. I mean, what would it look like if even a third of the time we check our phone? What if we saved Psalm 23 on our screensaver, and instead of opening anything, we would read over 100 times a day that the Lord is our shepherd and he's the one that is going to feed our soul. So thinking through, what are some, now I'm not bashing phones. Phones can do amazing things, but they also steal our agency right in front of us. And what does it look like to practice putting down our phone for 5 minutes at a time and picking up silence, turning down the noise, and turning up the voice of God, and just some new meal replacements, not adding to the plate that we have, because we can't add more, but looking at the plate that we already have and saying, okay, this isn't really nourishing me, and neither is this. I'm going to replace this with something. I'm going to do less phone, and I'm going to try the practice of silence and see if I hear God, or see what happens to my body as it just lowers the temperature altogether. And so each chapter correlates to a spiritual practice, a simple practice to say, hey, this isn't working. Let's replace it with something else.
That's so good. And because you're right, the idea of adding anything is overwhelming. So it's like, and that's what I love. It's like, no, we're not going to add anything. We're going to just change. We're going to replace it. Instead of eating that thing, we're going to eat this. What else? Like, just maybe you could name some other things, like phone, obviously. Yes. What other things do you commonly see people, you, me, stuffing ourselves with?
Yes. I don't know if this happens to you. I'm sure it does. I find myself feasting on the what if game. And my fears, really just feeding my own fears. And I mean, this just happened just the other night, a couple nights ago. I woke up at 3 a.m. and my brain is reeling with, what if this happens? And some regret. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done this. Or what if this is this with my kids? And I'm just feeding that. And I know in that moment, what I'm consuming, it's starving me. It's starving me. And so I know at that moment I need to switch to, instead of the what if game, the who is game. And so I'm like, okay, who is God? I need to think some new thoughts. I'm going to just right now, I'm just, who is God? That's what I need to know. And because I'm memorizing Psalm 23 very slowly with all my kids right now, I immediately thought, well, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And just thinking through each one of who God is and shifting my perspective at 3 a.m. because, man, that panic was rising. And I just need to have new thoughts. I need to replace new thoughts with who is God. And pretty soon I start just thinking more and more about his character because the practice of reading my Bible and soaking in his character just started coming. And I ended up, I remember one of my last thoughts was, God is my shield from Psalm 3. And I fell back asleep. Mm-hmm. Just some different, some shifts, some changes, meal replacements. Yeah, that's a big one for me. Anxiety and fear.
Yeah. I don't think we would think about that. Like feasting on something tangible, my phone, my schedule, my busyness, my tasks, but like internally, my thoughts, feasting on the thoughts that are completely hijacking. They're empty calories. Like,
you know,
it's just so challenging and so good. It's because it's so real. It's so like typically what we will do, no matter what we are doing, practically speaking, internally, we're thinking of things that potentially are, again, just going to leave us starved. So,
yeah. So thinking of, and I talk about shame too, the shame narratives that we have, and how do we replace those with being the beloved and really sitting in my belovedness and not any kind of shame that's definitely going to starve my soul and make me put up walls and be a perfectionist and all the things so that you can't reject me. But I also talk about some just other real, like we're exhausted. And so have we considered the Sabbath? And man, that's been a game changer for me. The Sabbath has been just last 15 years of fumbling through practicing the Sabbath. And I want to say practice because practice means we're learners. We're not good at it. We will fail, but we're engaging in something that we're honoring God with our time and our exhaustion.
Don't you think with the Sabbath, the number one, I mean, I've been there, the number one objection to practicing Sabbath is, if I do, and I'm just going to say this because I'm sure that's many of us, and if you're newer to walking with Jesus, like we can even just dive into what even the point is of it. But like once we explain even Sabbath is that seventh day, the day that we set aside that looks different from all others to really rest in and trust in God, that he's going to take care of all the things. It's really an honoring, you know, I've heard it said different ways or explained different ways, and you can go into that too if you want. But like for us to follow Jesus, we want to follow in his ways and the ways that God designed us to operate in. And Sabbath is one invitation he's given us to be able to rest and trust that he's going to take care of all the things. But I feel a pushback, and I've experienced this again, said it myself, is like, but if I do, then there's going to be more work for me to do. Are you kidding? I'm a mom. I've got the meals, groceries. I've got the laundry. And so I want to like, let's just talk about that for a minute, because I do think it's so like, if you're listening, watching, that's one practical thing maybe that the Lord is going to challenge you with after like listening to this conversation, because the longer we believe that lie, we're just going to continue being starved. And 100%. It also, like you say, practicing it doesn't necessarily mean, right, that we're like laying in bed.
Perfect.
You can't move. You can't even brush your teeth. Brushing your teeth is work. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's not what we're saying. I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind, right?
But it's like, it was not. Yeah.
So it's like, like, what might it look like for us to trust and rest? I don't know. Talk to say anything you want about that.
Oh my gosh. And for the mom listening, especially, I have a family of five. I remember the first time I read about practicing the Sabbath, I was like, wait, do you know who I am? Like, I can't just rest for one day. What does that even mean? And overwhelmed by that, it felt like a burden. But then the more that I read and even started to try it, I was like, oh, first we can prepare for the Sabbath. And so even say I'm going to prepare for my week on Saturday so that I can rest on Sunday. But also, I'm so struck by this. And this is John Mark Comer points this out, but there are three things that God blesses in the beginning in creation. He blesses the animal kingdom, and that blessing is to go and be fruitful and multiply, make more life. And then he blesses humans and says, hey, humans, multiply and make more life. And then he blesses a day, the Sabbath, and said, Sabbath, I bless you to make more life. Mm-hmm. And that idea that we would rest knowing that because of that rest, more life will be poured into me for the other 6 days is just really beautiful. I equate resting on the Sabbath with trusting God. It is a trust fall to not produce anything that day. No to-do list, to enjoy nature, to enjoy my kids. But time and again, I have seen, even when something has popped up on my rest day, and I'm like, oh, and I forgot to, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is coming. I'm not ready. Will there be time to be able to do these things? God had already prepared it beforehand. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have that talk already written. You knew it. I'm going to rest. Like these moments where he provides double, like he did the manna with Moses. Like he provided extra for the Sabbath. I have stories in my book on this because it feels unattainable, really, mm-hmm. our culture. But man, because of that, we need it all the more.
Yeah. Yes. Right. And if we just keep neglecting it again, it's like, we have this, I don't know why this just popped in my head, but I'll share it. We have this little kitty fountain and it's ridiculous. But it's water. Cats like water, whatever. But my point is when it's out of water, it just can't keep spitting out the water. And like, if we just keep going without Sabbath, it's just like, How are we going to get that water to come out? Like we're not.
100%.
Like just stop ignoring the fact that you have to stop it. You literally have to turn the thing off and then pour the water in and then it'll work. But like, keep on running on empty is really like what you do, you know, when we're not.
Yes. Which is one of the things I talk about is like, just what you're saying, we weren't created to only push and produce, but to rest and receive.
Yes.
As image bearers, like God rested. We bear his image when we rest. We bear his image when we work and we bear his image when we rest.
Yeah. What would you say, are there other practices that we're not doing that we so are starved for that will help?
Yeah. One of the things, and this isn't like a traditional, you won't find this in like Richard Foster's spiritual disciplines, but I have found because of how divided our culture has become, the practice of seeing the Imago Dei in one another, seeing, and that's Latin for image bearing. So it's seeing that each person I encounter is an image bearer of the Most High King, no matter if they believe in him or not. Wherever they fall in their entire life, because they're a human, they're an image bearer. That really helps me when people are different than me, when people feel like I'm intimidated or scary or a different culture or a different shade, that we would say, these men and women in front of me that I see, they're all image bearers. And I'm going to practice. I even challenge it. Take a day and everyone you see, whisper to yourself, I see an image bearer. This is an image bearer. This is to just protect and honor the dignity, value, and worth that every human has. I think that could heal a lot of the division and hostility and racial injustice we see in our culture right now.
Mm. So I hear you saying that, and I'm like, yes! Man, because what would you equate that to, like, the need for us to experience that and walk that out for ourselves? What is starved? What in us is starved in relation to that, right? Because we're not doing that. What is starved in us? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a few things. I think Communities start because if you want to see someone as less than or not worthy to participate in certain things in society or the marginalized, I think that causes division. So we're starving for unity and community. And even for the church to be this brilliant, all the nations, all the tongues, all the tribes that come together and form this beautiful image. I think when we refuse to see one another as image bearers, that's where it starts. And then the divide keeps coming and coming and coming. We're seeing this all over the place. And the church is suffering and starving in this way.
Yeah.
So I think it hits right at true community and living as the church, as a unified body.
Mm-hmm. And then I hear that. And again, I'm like, in my peripheral, I hear these, but they're not living like they're not living a lifestyle that honors God. You know, sure, Amy, they're, you know, made in the image of God, but they're not walking in, you know, ways that honor him. And so therefore there's a reason for us to be against them.
Mm.
And I hear that all the time. And, you know, I say this, I've never shared this publicly, but I was called in once, I say it like at the principal's office, but essentially,
right.
What it felt like, but like called in because there was concern over my leadership because I had befriended who I thought the whole world knew I was friends with all the people. I mean, I don't
all know the people.
People don't know that, but it had their attention that I had befriended some homosexuals, and they were concerned, and I said the anger, the righteous anger, you know, building in me during that conversation as it was starting was one hard to describe, but you know, I was very excited to share with them, and in responding to that is of saying, it's because I do love them.
These are my friends.
Yeah, they are my friends. And I love spending time with them. I adore them. Mm. I truly cherish them.
Yes.
Yes. And you know, just leaving that conversation of like, oh my land, this is like a thing. This is a thing that we aren't valuing. That's just one people group, right? Like we aren't valuing finding them worthy of time, love, energy, relationship, you name it. But I guess I would just love for you to speak into that. I know that that's a passion that God is just really like, it should be for all of us, but he's really given you the voice to speak into that of, then what is that? Like, how can we help our brothers and sisters, not only for us personally to experience this and like, again, like you said, be challenged, see everyone you come in contact with. You are an image bearer. Like you are created by our God. Like, you are an image bearer of God. And so like that for us personally, but then how can we too be a change agent in our communities where we don't see this happening?
Yes. I keep thinking about the very first way, as we were talking, that God describes himself to Moses very early, second chapter of the Bible, very early on. And it is the callback over and over and over to God's character. And this is what he says in Exodus 34:6. Moses is like, hey, can I see your glory? And God is like, whoa, my glory is a lot. I'll stick you in a rock. I'll go over. You can see the backside of my glory. And after he sees the backside of glory, God proclaims the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. The first word out of God's mouth, compassionate. And if I don't know a better way to bear God's image and to be a follower of Jesus than to live compassion forward, the way God in the Old Testament, that sometimes we think is he an angry God? No. In fact, he says, I'm slow to anger. This is third characteristic in Exodus 34:6. Compassion, I love the definition, is empathy plus action. That is someone to be compassionate. I need God's compassion. Mm-hmm. I need to be a recipient. And then I want to continue to say, who am I to say anyone else doesn't need to be addressed with compassion immediately? Mm-hmm. And to say, I'm going to move toward you with empathy. I'm going to put myself in your shoes. I have no idea what your day is like, what your life has been like, what has been said or done to you. But I know empathy plus action is a healer. And that's how God leads. And may we lead in his image in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so lead by example.
His image. This is who he is. And may we lead in that way.
Yeah.
May we love that way.
I pray too that maybe I was tearing up listening to you talk because I think we would pray that whenever, if we see something other than that compassion, that we would have the bold courage to speak into it.
Yes.
And that we would be kindly, respectfully challenging, but that is not the way of God. This does not feel compassionate. This does not feel.
Yes.
That we're showing empathy in action.
Yes.
This feels different. And that even just putting words to that, this feels different than
this. This feels different. This doesn't feel like love.
Yeah.
Like love. This feels more on the side of hate. What's going on here? You know, that was the chief command. Love one another. Love God. Love one another. Love, you know, God so loved the world, like the entire world. Like that includes like everybody.
Yep.
You know, Jesus' call was anyone who thirsts in John 7, anyone who thirsts, come to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're thirsty, you can come to Jesus. I don't care where you land. That's the call.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Can we just be there and show?
He is an inclusive call to all.
Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah.
How about, what would you say? Because a huge, there was a shift. We were talking before I hit record. There was a shift a couple years ago for me when I had a health situation. And I felt so awakened to the reality of I might not be here for very long. Yes. None of us, right? Like we
are right.
But like, hello, it's different. To be staring that in the face is like, ooh, right? Wakes you up.
Yes.
And so one of the things that the Lord really had been showing me previous to that experience was, Amanda, you have been missing out on a big, big part of me. Jeannie Cunyon's book, Don't Miss Out. I don't know if you've read that.
I have not.
So good. Essentially saying you've been living apart from my presence, you know?
Yes.
And so then what does that look like? And so starting to learn and it's like this journey of like, whoa, this awakening to, I have not been experiencing all of you. Again, it's more of a check the box religion and we hear, even like I had heard the whole time I'd been a Christian, it's not religion, it's relationship, it's relationship, it's relationship. And so, but what I thought was relationship is built then by me waking up early, reading his word, which are all good things. Being in the small group, serving at church, right? Like that's how you do.
Yes, boxes to check.
Yeah, to build relationship with him. But what would you say then is different? Because I know it's different because your book. And, and like, how can we experience his presence?
Yes, man, I love that you're asking this. Okay, so I was diagnosed with adult ADHD in my 30s, and that put a lot of puzzle pieces together for me, like for my little life on. And when I was reading about some of the spiritual disciplines and practices, and one of the readings that I was reading about was silence, I was like, I am not good at silence. I like noise. I like bells and whistles. And I was afraid to try just even 5 minutes of silence. I was really overwhelmed by that. But I felt God calling me to do that. And I'm saying silence in the fact that I'm not trying to get anything. I'm sitting and being with God, and he can speak to me or not, but letting myself be loved simply because I breathe. And that has been transformative. Even just yesterday, I was wrestling with a lot of fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, you know, a book coming out, I'm putting my words out into the world, how's it going to be received? And I just sat in silence, and I put a timer for 10 minutes. I was just like, I'm going to have 10 minutes of silence here, and I'm just going to open my hands and receive. And that's not something that I was practicing before. And maybe it's even a matter of switching up the practices that we've been so used to, like getting up, reading around, doing these things. What if I try a different way of relating to God and keeping it fresh, our relationship? And it's been so good to sit yesterday, sitting there, opening my hands. And not audibly or anything, but I sensed this, even if my book is not beloved, I still am. Mm. And having the space to be able to hear that, putting my phone down, turning off everything and quietly having the space, that has been transformative for my identity and mm-hmm. who I am and the loud voices in the world. Coming at me to sit and hear God's voice. That's been transformative for me.
Yes, I love that. There's been this, again, void for myself as well, and being able to turn everything off, because I was also operating like there was still noise. When I would be still, there was still noise going on. So even good things like worship music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amanda, turn it off. turn it off, you know?
All of it.
All of it. Silence my phone, turn off the music, turn off the noise. And when my mind wanders, just bring it back. Gently bring it back.
Yeah.
And get to know, like, the Spirit of God, like, hi. And just, like, sitting there. And like you say, just receiving. I love the hands being out. But, like, And I love just like try different ways to relate to him, experience him, and really not do anything, just to be with him.
Yes.
It's a whole new concept for, I think, a lot of Christians. It was for me. And
oh, for sure. To be with him in a way you would with like a friend or a husband, to say, let's find a new restaurant. Let's take a new walk on a different, you know, different path. Let's like experience something different. And build that relationship in a new way. And now you have this experience and this adventure. And not to say, I'm telling you, there are many times I sit in silence and hear nothing, and it's very boring. And that is fine. Or my grocery list is coming, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to come back to you. But it's still so shaping, soul shaping mm-hmm. for me to mm-hmm. turn it down and learn to listen and be okay with myself sitting there.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
How would you say, so again, if you're just joining us, Starved is Amy Seifert's brand new book, and we're giving a copy away. So just comment me below and you'll be entered to win. How would you say if we, because this is not really a question I want to ask, but it is a question I'm going to ask, because what I don't want us to think is like, well, they're living on an unhealthy spiritual diet, or they're consuming an unhealthy spiritual diet, and they need to probably change that. It's like, yes, you know, probably you start, right? So, but like at the same time, for those of us hearing this and are like, I need this, I want this, I'm going to get the book, and I like want this for not only me, but for my people. I see that we're rushed, we're exhausted, we're depleted. How can we, what can we do to like bring people with us in this journey?
Yes. Well, this is fun because there's a 6-week Bible study that goes with this. So you can grab your girls and do 6 weeks together, which is really fun.
Yes. But
I mean, what would it look like to take one of the practices that I suggest and invite someone in to do that with you? What it look like to say, hey, I'm going to try to Sabbath this week. Do you want to try with me? And we're going to fumble around. Or what does it look like to say, hey, I'm going to try to write a shame narrative from my past in one sentence. And I want to take it to you. And could you help me find what is the true narrative and enter in with your sisters and community on what is true? Can you help me find what is a verse that says the exact opposite? And to really engage others in the practice, because we need each other. There's so many times I cannot see what other people can in my world. So yeah, I'm huge into inviting the communal aspect into some new meal replacements in your life. I think it's really important.
So do that. And I always don't wait to see if you won. Just get the book. The link is in the comments. And just seriously, because I really am so certain that there are so many things it's funny because I've often said, I think that as Christians in the body, we're living spiritually fat.
But starving, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right. Like we're overweight in the amount of content we consume. And even good things, their cake is still good.
Right.
It's good. It's amazing. It has content within it.
Yeah.
But we are so spiritually overweight and starve for real nutrition.
Yes.
And so this is the stuff that really matters. Like it really matters because it changes us. These are the places, like when we get the real nutrients, we're completely transformed by it.
And that's
what transforms marriages and families and communities and workplaces. Not another thing, but like we are transformed.
Yes. So
can't stress the importance of this enough. Is there anything, Amy, that we didn't talk about that you want to share?
Yes. yeah, I'll say this. Yep. I have been practicing, I call it the Father's Five, and it's just from this one verse in Luke 15:20. And there are five verbs ascribed to the Father who's welcoming the prodigal son home. If you're not familiar, you can read the whole story in Luke 15. But there are five verbs that I have been waking up and practicing, using my holy imagination and picturing God toward me for my identity. Because what he does is he sees the son coming home. So we are seen. He is filled with compassion for that son. And then he runs and he embraces and he kisses that son. Mm-hmm. And I think actions speak louder than words. Sometimes when we think, who am I and how does God feel about me? Well, there are five action words ascribed to God from there. And so even using my body in the morning, taking 1 minute and imagining like my father sees me, he is filled with compassion for me. He is running toward me, chasing, he's embracing, he's kissing me and letting myself be loved and taking all that head knowledge that has stuffed us and bring it to my heart and exchanging the narrative that are really nourishing my soul.
That's so good. That's so good. Thank you. Would you please pray over the wives?
Yes. Oh God, thank you for this time. Thank you for Amanda's heart. Thank you for every woman that has tuned in, not by accident, God. You are an intentional God. You're an invitational God calling us, come to me all the time. And God, I'm so thankful that you call us. If anybody is thirsty, come. If anybody's hungry, come. If you are tired, come to me. The basics. You want to bring us back to the basics from you. And so I pray for my sisters, wherever they are in their spiritual journey, just tuning in tonight, whether they're dipping their toes back into the church or they've been burned by the church or they don't even know what's going on here, but they're landed here. God, would you invite them to yourself and to your good, nourishing narratives that you have for these women. Thank you for this sweet time tonight. Amen.
Amen. Oh, ladies, thank you, Amy. Amy's links are in the comments, and the link to Get Starved is also in the comments. Get the book. Thank you, Amy, for your obedience, for pouring into so many. And we just are excited for you. And we just, again, pray that this book would reach so many more than you can even think or imagine, and that God's name would be glorified through it all. So why don't you just say too, for anyone listening and driving, where can women find you?
Yes. I think Instagram is pretty fun. So I'm over at Instagram and Amy Seifert, and then amyseifert.com has all things books, speaking, all the things.
Everything. Yes. Bring her to your community. She's amazing. Yeah. She's so fun. Phenomenal speaker. So Amy, thank you so much for being with us. And ladies, we love you. Thank you too. And just hugs to you this week, Amy.
Yes. Yay. Hugs to you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye everyone.
Friend, have you ever thought about starting a podcast? If so, Spotify's got a platform that lets you make and start a podcast so easily and then distribute it everywhere and even earn some money. It's all in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. And then you can distribute it wherever podcasts are heard. Even video podcasts are available on Spotify. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. But best of all, it's totally free and there's no catch. Ever since we've been using Spotify for Podcasters at A Wife Like Me, we've been able to triple our reach, reaching wives across the globe. And it's so simple. Again, we do this right from our computer. And again, you can do it from your phone. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app, or just go to www.spotify.com/podcasters. Again, www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.